This is GamesAtWork.biz, your weekly podcast about gaming, technology, and play. Your hosts are Michael Martin, Andy Piper, and Michael Rowe. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and are not the opinions of any organization which they have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 351, Christmas Crossover.
Well, hello there.
Hey!
Wait a minute. You're not Graham.
You're not Michael and Andy.
What's going on here? I thought this was the week's end show.
At Games at Work.biz.
We've got a crossover. This is like one of those comic book crossovers that I used to read in the X-Men. Because we have a whole panel of folks today. Check it out. All right.
Wait, did Graham deliberately call Nate with me?
I did. I wanted to make sure that, seeing as this was the first time we've met, that we were the coolest people on the call, and clearly we've accomplished that goal.
Oh, there's a suspicious number of asset walkers right here.
All right, we're going to start out by saying, who are you wearing? Because I really am jealous of these sweaters. It's not the same Star Wars sweater, though, right? What do you got, Andy?
No. It's got like the shield generator in the middle.
That's awesome. I love that.
Got one logo on each arm as well. Yeah. So,
that's just cool.
So you got to face which way you're feeling each day.
Just do the 1-2 punch, really.
Or the 1-2 punch. It's kind of like the conscience. Like if he holds it up, like this is the bad voice and this is the good voice. I don't have a shield generator, but I do have snow speeders.
Nice.
Which is kind of cool. So,
If you had a little thread coming out of it, you could attach a Luke minifig, right?
Yeah, I could.
I don't have the new AT-AT walker, but I've got the a snow speeder. It's not available for me to pick up and show to the camera, but I do have
that's one of my favorite vehicles. But I digress. That's one of my favorite vehicles. I just want to throw it out there.
All right, folks.
That's a nice Christmassy film.
So, folks, we are having a bit of a crossover here. The Week's End Show combined with GamesAtWork.biz podcast. So we thought we'd have some fun and do a nice little end of year festive nerd fest of, I don't know, whatever we think is cool or awesome or excellent in the year 2021.
Well, you know, our different guests don't know who we all are. So shouldn't we explain who we all are?
Let's go for it. All right, Michael, you start.
Hey, so Ryan, thanks for having us on your show, and welcome to our show. So I'm Michael Rowe. I'm one of the founders and co-hosts of GamesAtWork.biz, a weekly podcast that focuses on games and work and technology and just geeking out and having fun, a lot like Week's End. So I'm really happy to be here.
Cool.
Welcome.
Andy, who are you and what are you doing?
Hi. What am I doing here?
What are you doing here, Andy?
Why are you here?
I'm Andy Piper. I'm the British guy. So I bring the sense of reason and general, intelligent sounding kind of aspect to the game.
Well, you do correct us when we're wrong.
I try to, and then I get corrected by our audience occasionally, which is great. I love that. So I started guesting on Games at Work, and then I kind of became more of a permanent fixture, I guess, and they can't get rid of me now. Sorry about that.
And we like it.
That's kind of how Graham joined this show, I think. Yeah, same difference. Mr. Martin, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing much better now that I'm actually getting to see everybody and saying hello. On my vacation this week, so I'm coming to you from a secret location near the North Carolina-Georgia border managed to borrow a cup of Wi-Fi from the North Carolina side visitor center. So coming to you courtesy of the great state of North Carolina. And
it's good idea. Good idea not to reveal your actual location because our fans will be swarming.
They do tend to follow, and you might see one or two of them step up here and look at me kind of curiously as they do because they maybe are looking for an autograph or something, or it could be the bathroom. You never know.
I know that feeling. We don't want to follow them there, though.
No.
I'm super jealous that you're down there, but I know how that works. As soon as you leave NC and go into South Carolina or Georgia, the Wi-Fi just drops instantly.
It's like a curtain of connectivity.
It's a feature.
Yeah.
It's a feature.
All right, Graham, who are you?
Hello, I'm Graham Noseworthy. I'm, let's see, this direction. I'm Ryan, that guy over there. Yep, Michael, if you could just duck. Yep, that guy. I'm Ryan's co-host on Week's End. I am joining you from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, or as Andy would probably remember it, the Massachusetts Bay Colony. of course, when we were properly occupied by British forces. So let's see. I like to talk about lots of nerd stuff. That's what Ryan and I do. That's what our show is. Movies, books, video games. Basically, just like a bunch of stuff that we saw on Twitter during the week that we then want to just talk about for half an hour. It's a ton of fun, but boy, it's great to meet you guys, and I'm really excited that we are having this crossover. This epic crossover event that tens of people have been waiting for. It's very exciting.
Yes, both of
it's
our
like the multiverse is splintered.
Wait, if we have the same listener, does it count as tens?
Well, the thing I worry about is with each other on each other's show, we might have just wiped out our entire audience. They're all
that's
on
true.
The show.
This is like a rip in the space-time continuum, and those people are all being sucked into a vortex somewhere. But anyway, and Ryan, why don't you go ahead and tell us who you are, my friend? Because we don't know who the...
I'm here in beautiful Wake Forest, North Carolina. One half of the Week's End nerdtastic, useless knowledge trivia generator duo. And I think I'm the Star Wars half. I don't know why you're wearing Star Wars sweater, but you're more of a Star Trek guy. So that's our eternal argument.
Whoa.
But we'll get into that.
That's like crossing the streams in Ghostbusters. What do you do?
We play nice, but I know where his loyalties lie.
I mean, I literally just took my blood pressure, and you're going to do it again. And it was a decent reading today. God, kids these days.
All right. Well, who wants? Let's go around. I think I have an idea what we do here, Michael. And I think I'll let you go first. But let's each pick a topic, maybe.
Well, we talked about this ever so briefly before the show started, and as something we saw on Twitter this week that would be fun to geek out on, and that is the 4K upgrade of the Star Wars. Cool. See, crossing the streams, Star Wars Christmas special, it's just the trailer. But have you guys watched it? Have you watched the Star Wars Christmas special this year yet?
Not this year.
Oh, the Lego one.
No, the original one. I did see the Lego one. The Lego one was good.
Oh, I see. Actually watching the holiday special this year, right? Not that they've released something new this year.
But it's not the Christmas special, right?
I'm not.
It's the holiday special.
It's the holiday special. That's
because
correct.
In the special, right, part of the plot is that they visit the Wookiee planet, which I don't even think they had named at that point, and they go to, a home, a Wookiee family, and they have
not a Wookiee family, the Wookiee family.
Well,
the it's Chewbacca's family.
But they have like the day. What's the celebration? what's their celebration called? It's
Life
different.
Day.
Life Day, right?
Life Day.
And there's a glowing orb and whatnot.
For the Star Wars guy on the show, you need to give up your cred. I mean,
No. Here's the thing. I've only seen it maybe twice, and one of those times was last Christmas when I went to. It may have been 2 years back before the pandemic. I was at Alamo Drafthouse. They have those giant screens in the VHS table in the lobby, and you can literally pop in any movie. And I chose the holiday special.
Okay. Do you want to see my imitation of C-3PO dancing in the? I think it was from the holiday special. You want to see it?
Oh,
okay, here we go. Raise
yourself.
Oh, thank the maker. Oh, thank the. Damn it.
And see, friends, this is the difference between an audio and a video podcast.
Right. We're going to need to narrate. Right, we're going to need to narrate some of this movie.
I was just reading. Regular listeners of Games at Work will know that I'm not a big fan of the holiday special in any way, shape, or form. It's ridiculous and awful. But anyway, I was reading I was reading an article yesterday about Mel Brooks. I think it's either an autobiography or just some new book looking back over his filmography and talking about Spaceballs, obviously, and how he actually went to George Lucas for permission or blessing to do it, basically, even though the story, obviously, looking at it through the lens of Star Wars having come out and so many of the deliberate parallels, it wasn't a pastiche of Star Wars originally. That wasn't how it was written. But they were. He was to basically, I think, the story is that basically Lucas said, "Don't do any merchandising and you're safe. Don't come out with any action figures because my team will come after you. Otherwise, yeah, go for it. It's fun."
May the Schwartz be with you.
I love that movie. That is a movie I watch too much. But the holiday special is just like what happens when too many people using too many white powdery substances are not told no.
Ludicrous speed.
Or mushrooms.
I want to go ludicrous speed at some point in my life.
Yes.
Mace, now you see, we're only a week away from this guy coming back to our screens.
I'm so excited
about that.
I don't know. They're going to rehabilitate him too much that people are going to like him.
You think so?
I mean, I know, right?
This guy being Boba Fett that I just held up for our audio only.
Because he's like a fatherly, you know, revenge story, you know.
Yeah. But if you've been chewed on by a Sarlacc for a while, you know, it does make you a little bit mellow.
Well, actually, it is a good point, because in the preview, he says something like, "Jabba ruled with threats and violence. I will rule with respect and something." And I was like, really?
Who are you? What have you done with Boba Fett?
Is this just going to be like, is this a child's book of Boba Fett?
It's a kinder, gentler Boba Fett.
Yeah, it's a kinder, gentler. Oh, we'll see. But I'm excited for that. Who's excited for The Matrix?
What?
Two thumbs up for The Matrix?
I will give you four thumbs up.
There's a really good, there's been a really good Twitter campaign if you followed the Matrix account, and I think you had to either favorite a particular tweet, and then it would, through the course of the marketing campaign, it's been sending you links, and I just had the one yesterday telling me to book my tickets. That's been pretty fun.
Gee, that's a surprise that it led you down to that path.
Right.
Did you have to
click
and like a blue tweet or a red tweet for that, Andy?
You see, now. Nice. I don't think you can change the color of tweets, so...
Yeah. Oh well,
there was a green carpet event. It was a green carpet event, I think, last night or you know sometime this week, where the stars came out and they had. I don't know. It's good to see Keanu and Carrie Ann Moss together again, because in their interview last week, they were basically talking about how they thought it was. They were being interviewed about that silly tech demo that NVIDIA, I think, and the Unreal Engine, you know, that demo. They were being interviewed about that, but they were like, you know, this is a love story. It's just good for us to be back in the same physical space, and it's really got humor in it and all these things that, you know, maybe people will be unexpectedly surprised by that, right?
I think so.
I thought the first movie had a lot of humor in it too, though. I mean, come on. I don't think that's a surprise. I you know, it was cool. Matter of fact, riffing on that, I finally last night watched Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, no kidding. How was that?
It was actually enjoyable. It was a little bit long, but it was enjoyable. Yeah. It was I had totally forgotten about it and totally forgotten that it was done by the team that made The Matrix, and it's fun.
Oh, you know, I recently watched 2010, which I had. I love 2001. I'm like obsessed with that movie, and I had never seen 2010, the year we made contact. I think it's called, instead of the space or a space Odyssey. And I absolutely loved it. I thought it was a great movie. I couldn't believe that I hadn't seen it earlier. I mean, you know, it's no Aliens or whatever, but it kind of looks like that a little bit. But I liked it.
Watching that in the theater when it came out, and I had totally forgotten about that movie until you just mentioned it. I have to see it.
It's on HBO Max, I think. And I got to tell you, I really liked it.
Cool. Huh. That came out in 1984. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that was
fresh off 84.
Wow. I mean, that was fresh off of.
So no spoilers.
Jaws.
Helen Mirren.
Yeah. I like. That. I think so. If you had to pick, what's your favorite? Jaws 2010 or Blue Thunder?
Blue Thunder.
Same.
Jaws.
I don't remember Blue Thunder, so I'd have to say.
I'm making a connection with the lead actor.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, and then if it's about the lead actor, then my answer would be All That Jazz. Thank you.
All right. Well done.
Showtime.
All right, Mr. Martin, you give us a topic. What's up next? What's on your mind?
What are we doing?
Well, as this is a Christmas show, I'll give you a double header. And since we're talking about, you know, things we're watching. So last night, we got to our undisclosed location in time to figure out how to get Dish Network operating on a different TV. You know how that is. Luckily, we had some good instructions and managed to watch Christmas at Belmont. And Christmas at Belmont, from Belmont University, just outside of Nashville, apparently has been going for 10 years. Didn't know that. And it seems like every last person that they had singing was like, you know, star quality kind of people. So I know it's a kind of a niche thing, but it's a Christmas show. So I would share that. And then immediately following was something I also thought was super interesting. Again, given the vein of what we're going after here. And that was, I don't recall the title. I'd have to look it up for later. It was about the story about how Jews had influenced Christmas and so strongly, and that it was a uniquely American experience in adding much more to the holiday because of all the songs that were written by Jewish composers and songwriters, and that they really took things by storm to create a uniquely American experience. And that was sort of the main thrust of that particular section.
I saw that.
Did you?
That sounds familiar. I think I saw that.
Yeah, it was really intriguing. I mean, I after watching the Christmas special, it came on right following, and I was like, well, I'll give this a few minutes. It was like, wow, you know, how incredible, you know, White Christmas, Irving Berlin, you know, all these composers that everyone knows, and the notion of everybody knows was the way of really driving home this uniquely musical American Christmas experience. And I know, really, Andy, cool. That might not have made it across the ocean back your direction, but it was really quite clever when it came down to songs like Rudolph and White Christmas and a whole range of others. The Christmas song being, I think, another key chief one amongst them, the chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And that was a common thing in Boston, apparently, that you would get hot chestnuts roasted on an open fire, which I'm sure didn't originate in Boston, the great state that it is in Massachusetts. It probably came over from the old world, too. So that's what I've been doing, aside from fighting technical difficulties, which I think seem to have solved. And again, you'll probably notice I'm telling all the people, no autographs today, please. I'm recording.
Right, right.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, most of them have been good enough to walk past, so.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, North Carolina is good about that. They leave the celebrities to do what they need to do.
I think if you combine our tens of fans with your numbers, we could be up to dozens at this point.
Could be crazy.
So speaking of Christmas movies, I thought it would be fun for us to talk about I'm obsessed with creating lists. And so around Halloween, I was creating, like, I had like one, you know, one film a day during the month of October, alternate horror films. And for Christmas, I assemble a alternative Christmas movie list. And I, you know, there's so many films to watch on the Hallmark Channel or other, you know, Lifetime, all those networks, that whatever your favorite is for cheesy holiday fare. But I'm curious, what are there any like alternative, and you can't say Die Hard because that's going to be a trivia question, but what are your, do any of you have any alternative sort of holiday flicks you want to throw at us?
Yeah. Rare Exports.
All right.
If you haven't watched it, go watch it right now. It's a, I think it's Finland, where they dig up Santa Claus.
Oh, I'm trying to see.
Okay, I got to be honest with you. Rare Exports sounds like something that would play on Cinemax at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Just so we're clear.
Yeah, I'm writing it. I'm putting it, in it. I'm putting that one on my list. I didn't have it. But I have a whole list of other, what I call other Christmas movies or other.
That's a list. That's a list. Substantial looking list.
I'll share it with the audience later. But twice. who else has something?
Star Trek Generations. That is a Christmas movie.
Say what?
I also believe, by the way, I also firmly stand by the fact that Star Trek The Undiscovered Country is a Thanksgiving movie, clearly. But yeah, Star Trek Generations is a Christmas movie. Who's the turkey? I don't know. Chancellor Gorkon, I guess.
Oh, he is such a turkey.
We know who the ham is. That's Wesley.
Of course. Shut up, Wesley! And then on New Year's, every year I like do my best to unplug from my life, usually because I'm hungover, and I simply watch I love the Twilight Zone marathon they have on Sci-Fi that runs for like days at a time, and I always find episodes I've never seen before, but I also rewatch all of my favorite episodes and notice things I've never seen before. And I absolutely love the Twilight Zone. I just the original, the black and white Rod Serling, fantastic, fantastic show. In many ways to me is really unmatched. So those are sort of my like obscure holiday things is a couple of Star Trek films and Twilight Zone.
Well, speaking of crossovers, I mean, with the original Twilight Zone, right? William Shatner and the Gremlins.
Yeah, absolutely. Terror at 10,000 feet is a, yep. Or 20,000 feet, whatever it is a fantastic episode. It's funny because when he just went up on
Blue Origin.
Thanks. And there's this great shot. It's so good. You can see inside Blue Origin's capsule and it's just him sort of shot from behind. And he's looking out his window and he's just kind of like awestruck at like looking out. You could see the Earth. So what I did was I used Photoshop and cleared the images from the windows and just put the image of the wing from Terror at 20,000 feet. And if you look closely, you can actually see his reflection in the window from that episode. And you can see the monster looking in like,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'll have to find
you,
it.
You got to send us the link to that tweet because we got to put that in the show notes because that is awesome.
I absolutely will.
You'll get one or two likes.
Did you watch the documentary yet? There was going to be one on Prime, wasn't there, about the Shatner trip?
No, I need to see that. You know, I was really frustrated. This doesn't have to be a rant of the week because that's another show excerpt from our show that I do every week where I just get pissed off about something and Ryan just hangs up on me for 5 minutes. But anyway, I was really mad about that. The end of if you watched that whole launch when he comes down and Jesus. All right, here we go. So he comes out of this capsule and he's standing there and he's talking.
Because I'm going to forget my movie.
Yeah. All right. So he's standing there talking to Jeff Bezos, and Jeff Bezos like cuts him off mid sentence and wants to like spray champagne on these women, and it just really bothered me that he had ignored William Shatner. But anyway, enough on that. Tell us about your movie.
Well, that's actually coming from an audio world. You know, Michael and I when we started gamesatwork.biz, we started with an audio thing. So this video stuff's a little new for us. We tried it once or twice. We do not have the face for.
We have a face for radio.
We have a face for radio. So one of the audio books that I love listening to about this time of year, and Graham, you may know this already too, Sir Patrick Stewart does a marvelous job of reading A Christmas Carol. And so we didn't listen to that on the drive up to the mountains here in North Carolina, but I like listening to that. I like listening to David Sedaris give his little story about, little elf, about being an elf in Macy's and what it entails to get that job. But I do have a movie for you, and sticking a little bit on the Jews and Christmas theme here, you might find the Hebrew Hammer, being one of those fantastically great Christmas stories about what happens when a unlikely group of individuals comes together to save Christmas. Wow. So there you go.
All right. I'm adding that one to the list too. So I'm
definitely adding that to the list.
All right. I have a question. If there's no other film suggestions, I really want to pose like, this is like, I don't know why this keeps being a debate every year. It's kind of like almost like jump the shark or whatever. Yeah. So
let's jump.
Taco or sandwich? I mean, seriously.
Let's just vote and put this to rest. We have five, so we can have a majority vote here. There's no even number, so let's do it. What do you say, Michael? Michael Rowe. Yes. Graham.
Well, that was for the audio podcast. I did a thumbs up.
Yes. Yeah. Andy, what do you say?
Yes, absolutely. Of course.
Yes. And are we going to get five votes here?
Without a question.
All right.
I don't even know where
five
we're asking.
Five votes, folks. I think we can put this unanimous. To bed and stop talking about it on Facebook with all of your kind of acquaintance friends. Yeah. All right.
Or every single
back to
morning
the dress.
Show.
Talk about something that's really controversial.
In fact,
well, I was busy okay. looking for my cassette tape of the Patrick Stewart Christmas Carol, and I could not find it. I was going to hold it up to the camera, but I was
it is
bummed.
On Audible, so if you need a digital copy, you can always.
Well, no, I ripped it, and I actually have a CD, plus it's in my music library.
Mm. Highly recommend.
I went to see the Spider-Man movie at the weekend.
I'm going tonight.
Look, I'm not going to give you spoilers, but there was a particular
but
group.
Whenever somebody says I'm not going to, stop listening because they're going
to. I would like just. I would like to tell you the story of how the evening played out. I went into the theater. I sat down. I enjoyed the movie, but. At certain points in the movie, now it's increasingly not unusual for people to sort of applaud at sort of big moments or, you know, get excited when something happens, especially in Marvel and Star Wars and some of, you know, those kind of movies with fan bases. And I've certainly partaken in that at times. I certainly whooped when, you know, Captain America catches Thor's hammer and all that sort of stuff. Right? It's awesome.
What he does that in Spider-Man.
but there was a particular group in there that would sort of preemptively shout out stuff and also shout stuff to explain it to the rest of the audience.
What?
And then at the end, after
that's
the movie,
so Marvel splaining.
At the end of the movie, one particular person stood up and then shouted out about this is the only spoiler, post-credit scenes existing.
What?
And, I'm like, surprised. You know, And I was just like, dude,
shut up.
You've already ruined it by being a dick throughout the movie. And then totally. Stand like, up and do it. Literally, he stood up in like towards the front of the sort of down the steps and stood up and like made himself obvious and shouted to everybody. He was quite drunk.
Seems like a given at this point though, right?
I was gonna ask if he was drunk.
Yeah, and then as I left, because I was really, really fuming by the time the whole thing had finished. With the way this particular individual was, I kind of said, look, dude, you really ruined this. And of course he was drunk and wanted to have a go back. So I just walked to that point, but I wasn't brave enough to take my complaint any further. But it was really frustrating.
So let's great go. Innovation for that should be in the United States everywhere, I would say, getting a nice glass of wine or beer or something else. In addition to your popcorn, right?
Yep.
So not a usual thing here in the U.S. There are a few places you can go, but...
Yeah, I think he...
But
I
sometimes
think
it gets out of hand, been, doesn't it?
I think his group had been somewhere else previously, for sure. So, yeah. Anyway, there you go.
They didn't materialize in the movie theater.
I would say that I didn't... Like, this is one of the first Marvel films that I didn't go see on opening night, and I guess for a lot of reasons, but I'm hoping to see it next week.
I'm hoping to go tonight, actually.
I'm down Shang-Chi and also and the Eternals, but Shang-Chi's on the Disney Plus now, so I could watch it. I just haven't had a chance.
Yep.
And
Shang-Chi
I still
is
the
amazing.
Eternals.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I heard that. And I just caught up on Hawkeye from last week as well, so
yeah.
I'm trying to keep on top of it, but it's getting
it's almost like a job, isn't it, Andy, with all this content?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, come on, Marvel. You know, I remember when you would dole these things out, you know, little by little, time to, consume it and understand it.
I will say, I watched Black Widow on the streaming services and Shang-Chi as well, and I haven't seen Eternals either. So I'm like, I'm in danger of giving up my Marvel Cool Kids card as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen Eternals yet, but it's on the list.
It's on the list, but I haven't heard the greatest things. But it's one of those things where it's like, I know I still need to see it. Yes. Otherwise, there's going to be some sort of plot hole that I'm going to miss. So, and I'm watching Hawkeye and trying really hard to like it. But Shang-Chi is just, it's a struggle, to be honest with you. But I'm trying. But it's getting better. It's getting better.
Come on.
I enjoy the charm of Mr. Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, I mean, the scene where he picks up Captain America's hammer and uses it.
Yeah. Shut up.
Wow.
Shut up. Fake spoiler alert. All right. I think we have time for one more segment, folks. So what should we talk about? Should we talk about favorite tech of the year? Favorite what of the year? What do you guys want to do?
I think tech would be good.
I like that.
Let's do it.
And I'll tell you one that I was most excited for, and it's now available, and I'm futzing with it, and that is Swift Playgrounds 4 on the iPad. I have an app that I've been working on, and I actually bought the iPad Pro, the new iPad Pro, back in May, June, because it had the M1 chip in it, thinking they're going to make it so you can do development on the iPad. Well, Swift Playgrounds 4 allows you to do development on the iPad and actually ship things to the App Store. Oh. So that's available now. It came out, Tuesday of last week. The thing that I don't have working, though, is I have an app that's all 100% native Swift UI and Swift, but it will not compile on the iPad, and I think it's because I use Core Data. So they don't talk about Core Data in all their demos and why it's so great. And it seems like that's a big miss. If you can't write an application that has a true data store embedded in it, right, then that's a bum. But it's exciting. It looks cool. Other than that, and the fact that my app won't compile, it's pretty neat.
But you know, Michael, I think the thing is it's not compiling because you're not using the proper lunar Wayne shaft with Lotus Odeltoid alignment. So you're getting a lot of side fumbling in there. You're going to want to reduce that side fumbling.
Yeah,
I think once you do that
side fumbling,
get a little harmonic balance in your muffler overbearings, you're going to be all set.
Okay. And just Captain America's hammer Google works that. Well to kind of get that right in alignment.
Well, no, it's Hawkeye's hammer. Yes. It's Hawkeye's hammer. Didn't you remember
he got it
from Captain America?
Well, he just lifted it, I thought, you know. Oh, he stole it. Got it. That's what you meant.
But that's next week's episode. Yeah, you got to get caught up on this stuff. It's like a job. There's a lot of Marvel content.
There's a lot of Marvel content.
What about you, Andy? What's your favorite tech?
So I have just taken delivery about a week ago of the Stack Overflow April Fool's joke. So they joked in April, funnily enough, about the key.
Yes.
Literally a copy and paste keyboard, three-key keyboard.
I love it.
And it was it kind of gained meme status so quickly that the folks over at Drop actually created it. And
they had
it shipped,
to, didn't
and I got
they?
It last week. And it's configurable. You know, I mean, it's actually really high quality. The base is you know proper aluminum. You know, it's a heavy device. It's not just some kind of crappy piece of plastic.
That's really cool.
And you can reprogram it and have loads of different things. So yeah, it comes with it programmed for Windows. So it actually is Control C, Control V. So I had to immediately reconfigure it for a Mac. And the crazy thing is that they could have just had, you know, the one key be both, you know, do the whole key press of Command C, Command V. But they didn't. So they've actually got a third key there, which is
I love the quote.
The Command or Control
B. I love the quote on the box. That's nice.
Copy great artists steal, greatest artists copy then paste. Yeah, exactly.
The cable looks like an old phone cable, right? Mm-hmm. The twisted cable.
Yes, yes, that's awesome.
I've had a ton of fun this year making gadgets. So I've got this other one, keypad here, which if I can do this with one hand, you can configure by turning this, you can configure what each of the keys does, depending on the app you're in. So I have this guy set up on my, and this is great for killing Zoom calls and switching your mic on and off, and depending on your app again. So, that one's running on a Raspberry Pi Pico. The Stack Overflow one is running on an Atmel chip. But I've been having a lot of fun this year with gadgets again. So I had to call that one out.
Were you using that one at the beginning of the show while we were getting ready to kick Michael off the the video over and over?
I don't have a StreamYard configuration in there yet, but I'll program one in.
Got to work on that.
Hey, they got keystroke support now. Who's up next? What do you like, Graham? What's your favorite of the year?
Well, you might think that I would say it's my IBM PC Junior joystick from Boca Raton in the 80s, but it's not. Whoa. You might also think it's my blood pressure monitor that I showed earlier that saved my life, but it's not. You may also think it's my original field radio phone with also having a curly Q cable, much like awesome. Andy's amazing and keyboard device there. And knobs. It's got plenty of knobs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got plenty of knobs, and it's functional, which is fun. But actually, it's none of those. And it's not even a computer or a piece of code or the lightsabers. Oh, computer's crazy. The lightsabers
my cause for Christmas. No. Whoa.
I'm going we just missed. It's the coolest thing in the world. It's the fact that his network is dying.
I feel so bad.
It's 5G. It's 5G.
I feel so bad. You kind of reached the crescendo. You were about to reveal what it was, and then no. The audio just went nuts.
But no, it's not my network.
It just automatically does it, so that way you're on a Zoom call.
It's not my network. It's my. I know it's this POS computer that I use. That's the problem. It's not the network. It's my device. But anyway, the coolest thing that I have is my ATV. That's my piece of technology that I love. Going out into the woods and ripping it up on a big old Can-Am Outlander and having a lot of fun with helmet communications and GoPro cameras and going nuts. So it's a lot of fun. Yeah, that's it. Blackberry Garage. That's us.
Graham, if you're using a point of sale as your computer, then doing this wrong.
That is PC wrong. Junior.
I showed you what I'm using. I showed you what I'm
using. That's your modem coupler.
No. I think the problem is I'm running out of free hours on my CD for AOL. So I've almost run out.
I'll send you a couple extra CDs.
Yeah, send me your AOL CD so I can dial in and be have a slightly more stable.
All right, I'm going to go last. Why don't you go next to last, Mr. Martin?
I want to hear it.
All right, great. So like many, I have come with tech that maybe isn't like super new tech, but it's new to me, so I'll count it. Earlier this year, fire. I had some money left over. Fire would be good, and there are some things I would say for fire. Would say for fire, but I'm not going to. What I will say is I had a little money left over in my medical expense account that had to be spent. And so I wouldn't ordinarily do this, but I love my Maui Jim sunglasses.
Awesome.
I wear them everywhere. And these are like life-changing fabulous.
Those are love super them. Cool.
Oh, and the blue.
And they're perfect for the weather that you're in.
Yep. So you're taking the blue pill, I see.
Because
okay.
It takes all of the cloudiness and the glare and just makes it go perfect. So
wow. Excellent.
Maui Jim sunglasses, prescription sunglasses.
Something cool love. That's working.
I'm not familiar with this at all. That's bizarre.
Oh, great stuff.
Sunglasses? You are
I mean, I don't understand the concept of the sun, so yeah. Could you give us if you got some like rain glasses with, you know, like the wipers and stuff, that'd be great.
So Ryan, finish us up. We got two minutes here. Some of us have to jump on to meetings. What do you got?
All right, I'm gonna close this out with something analog. My favorite tech of the year was getting this new skate deck, which sweet. I haven't even taken out of the
still needs wheels,
yet.
Though, doesn't it?
It still needs wheels, trucks, bearings, all that cool stuff.
Let's go riding, brother. I'm so ready.
Look at that. But the art on it is Garrett Moreland, who does a lot of cool art, but it's illustration of the two lead singers in my favorite band. So the Avett Brothers.
Oh, I didn't know you liked
I enjoy the analog tech there.
So
I had no idea you like them.
Yeah, right. this is interesting because, you know, I was thinking about it, and that looks like you put their faces down on the wheels, facing down on the ground.
I know, right?
Which I guess is good because you're not stepping on their faces while you're riding.
It's going to be the trucks are going to sit like right on their noses, which will be kind of
that's a little weird.
All right, folks. Well. This has been fantastic. We should do this.
It's been loads of fun.
Next year, 2022.
Next holiday
it's coming
occasion.
Soon.
Hold on, let me do another imitation of my camera failing, guys. It's been great.
And with that, why don't we all do a group freeze frame right when I end the broadcast? So one, two, three.
Freeze frame.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming, technology, and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.